السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. الحمد لله. This is the first session after Ramadan, and inshallah the first session with Asma'ullah al-Husna, and I believe today's name is number 56, if I'm counting right. And to remind ourselves that Asma'ullah al-Husna wa sifatihi al-Ula is a reflection on the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does the name mean in the Arabic language, and what does it mean when Allah is named with that name, and how are we affected by that name in our lives, and how this name is manifested around us in our lives. And as we say that Allah's names and attributes with us. Allah is with us with His names and attributes. So the more we understand them, the more we get them to be close to our heart, the more we are closer to, the more we are close with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the quality of our life becomes a better quality of life, becomes the best life that a human being could live, which is a life that is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's name, inshaAllah, is Al-Awwal wal-Akhir. Al-Awwal wal-Akhir. And they are the two names are together. Al-Awwal wal-Akhir. And as some scholars say that there are some names, they are together all the time. Like Al-Khafid wal-Rafi', the one who brings down and puts up. Al-Qabid wal-Basid, the one that who holds back and the one who gives. Because there is a relationship between the two. Allah holds back, okay, to give you. So in holding back is a giving. Allah puts you down so He can bring you up. So in putting you down, bringing you up. So it is not a name that has a negative connotation. No, it is both names. They are together, beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Awwal wal-Akhir. Al-Awwal, the first. Al-Akhir, the last. What is Al-Awwal means? In Arabic, we say Al-Awwal, the first. It has to do with In linguistics, it has to do with a place or time. So it has to do with time. When you say Al-Awwalu, he's the first to come, for example, the first here. So it has to do with the time. He was here first. Okay. Now, remember, this is only in linguistic, not when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also has to do with the place. He was here first. Okay? And Al-Awwal also has to do with a degree or a quality that is higher. This one is Al-Awwal, that means there is a second and a third and so forth. So Al-Awwal mean, you know, first. First meaning in honor. Or first in time. Or first in place. So the word Al-Awwal in the language has to do with these three understandings. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot confine Allah to a place or a time, or to compare Allah with anything. So therefore, Allah is al-awwalu. Before time that He created was there. Allah was al-awwalu. Before place Allah created was here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always al-awwalu before any of His creation was created. Okay. So when it comes to the word first, it shouldn't come to our mind. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that connotation should not come to our mind. Okay? Because the existence of everything, we know that everything existing from Adam. There was nothing, and then there became something. So there is Adam and then wujud. Okay, there is nothing, and then they became, or it became existing. So it was existed from nothing, and also there is an initiation or someone who initiated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initiated this existence. So there was nothing, then Allah caused things to exist. So anything that's existing, we know that it was caused to be existing and also did not have anything before. It started from nothing. But existing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different, because Allah is always there. Allah is always there. So therefore, the existence of Allah, we cannot say Allahu mawjood with meaning Allah exists with the understanding of the existence of other beings in the creation. No. Allahu mawjood, Allah exists. His existence subhanahu wa ta'ala from Him is not given to Him. Existence, an innate existence from Allah. And everything else is existed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything existed in a place, in a time, has a beginning and it has an end. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed before time was created, before a place was created. And nothing caused Allah to exist. Allah exists from within Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-awwalu. So He's first. When we in our lives receive qadr, receive something that happened to us, something was destined to us, we should connect it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. We should not connect it to cause and effect. We should connect it directly to Allah. We should not connect it to a person. We should connect it to Allah. So, because Allah al-awwalu, He initiated this to happen. So Allah is the cause of this to happen from the very beginning. How it happened, that is a different issue. Okay? So, when we are affected with something, let us say negative, through someone, we tend to look at that someone and say, you did this, me, and have some grudge against this person. We should go beyond this and realize that what caused this to happen, the one who caused this to happen is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah used this person for His qadr to go through. So, the one who forgives, okay? The one who forgives is the one who has that understanding and that ability of having azm. Azm, nadhalika min azm al-umur. This is from azm of matters. That deep inside of you, you forgive because you know that this is something, Allah will take care of things. And originally, what happened to you is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you take it in with acceptance. Does not matter how bad it seems. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Now, and everything ends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So whatever it is that we do, eventually when everything ends, when the matter comes to the end, Allah will be there. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Rahman, everything on it is fan, will go away, meaning on earth, meaning in the universe. Okay? وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ. يَبْقَى will stay, the direction of Allah, the face of Allah. Allah will stay. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stay, meaning His Al-Akhir. So when we go on in our lives, we know that at the end of every road that we're taking, at the end of every decision that we're making, at the end of every experience that we are experiencing, at the end of it, we'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When all said and done, we'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Al-Akhir. That's why when we have a misunderstanding and the illusion of achieving things that we're looking forward to, that is tangible, becomes in our lives something important, especially when we are young. Okay? So when you are young, you are looking forward to be able to do things that you're not capable of doing. So you study, you know it, and so forth, and now this excitement of growing up, okay, you're able to do this. And maybe the excitement of being able to do something you're not allowed to do. And you get to the age that when you're allowed to do this, and you know, now you're allowed to do this. You get the excitement of the future, okay? Of what I'm going to be, what work I'm going to be, how much money I'm going to make, what I'm going to buy, you know, the kind of car I'm going to buy, the kind of house, marriage and children. This excitement of the future, of building the future. It's a process of growth, and a process we call it a being energetic when you are young. And this is a sign of the youth. Okay? You will energy to do, accomplish things and so forth. And those who look at life only in this direction, in this way, in this value, in this level, they have problems eventually. Why? Because what you thought about doing is done. What you thought about accomplishing was accomplished. What you thought about, you know, buying, you bought, and so forth. So now you are old. Do you get it? The feeling of old age arrives. Okay? But you can remain being young by continuously accomplishing accomplishments. When you're looking forward for knowledge and more knowledge which has no end, that is being young. Because what you're looking forward to, something that it has no end. When you're looking forward to be close to Allah, that has no end. You can keep trying to achieve that and achieve a higher level and higher level and higher level of that. When you are really looking forward for the hereafter, when you literally become with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah inshaAllah, that you are remaining to be young. Okay? This energy is still there. This seeking of the knowledge, seeking of doing the work of Allah, seeking of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking to be in Jannah. Okay? That keeps you going and going, and age doesn't mean much to you. Okay? When you connect yourself to that which has an end, you are connecting yourself with something that perishes, that goes away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created things that has an end, has a beginning and has an end. And Allah created things that has a beginning and it has no end. And all that which is similar will meet. Okay? The creation all around us, except man, has a beginning and it has an end. Life, tangible things, physical things all around you. Allah initiated that creation, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it will end. Okay? Human being has a beginning, but he has no end. Yes, life as we know it now will end, but we'll be resurrected, and this resurrection will be in a life that is connected to this life that we have here. Meaning, it is a consequence of this life. There is a continuation of this. Okay? So we have no end. And Allah created paradise and hellfire that has a beginning and it has no end. Allah initiated the creation of fire, hellfire, and paradise. So we will meet. That which has a beginning and has no end will meet. So we either end up in paradise or in hellfire. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created hellfire and told Jibreel alayhi salam to go and look at it. He went and looked at it and came back and said, Ya Allah, no one will enter it. Once they know what about it, no one will enter it. Then Allah sent him and said, go look at it now. He looked at it, came back, he said, many will enter it. Because now it is surrounded with desires. With desires. Go look at Jannah. Jibreel alayhi salam looked at it and came back and said, everyone will enter it once. They know what it is. Allah asked him to go back and look at it. Looked at it, came back and said, not many will enter it. Why? Because now Jannah is surrounded with hardship. With hardship. So work has to be done. Staying away from the desires. Doing the work to enter Jannah. To connect with that which not has to do with desires that bring us down to this earth. Because that is the path to hellfire. But rather work hard in that which brings us close to Allah. And that is hard work to connect with that which has no end. And it is Jannah. And it is being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshaAllah in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the companions that رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. The Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. This pleasure, okay, this rida is the highest of success. The rida is the highest of being successful. To connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand that everything is from Allah and you are pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you or take away from you, and truly you are pleased with that, that is the ultimate success. Why? Because that is a component in success that without it, no one is successful. Okay? When someone, as the Western mind, think of success, they say it is an accomplishment of things that makes a difference with mankind, with people, and having good relationship with people, and being satisfied, have satisfaction. Okay? The first two they try to accomplish and they accomplish. The third one they cannot accomplish unless they seek the pleasure of Allah. It cannot happen. You can get everything, you can be very rich, You can have lots of friends and lots of family and lots of children. You can do things that makes a difference in a lot of people. Okay, that truly do a lot of good work. The causes, you know, make a difference in the lives of mankind. But if that is, you think that is alone will give you pleasure? No. You will not consider yourself successful. Success is to have the feeling that you are pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you or take away from you. And you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek in the pleasure of Allah and hoping that Allah is pleased with you. That is that satisfaction with the other 2 points, it becomes the equation of success. Okay? So as one Western, you know, writer wrote this, he was trying to give the meaning of what's constant and what changes. Okay? And the constants, you cannot change it because it's constant. You cannot change it. It has to be there. Okay? So he was saying that, you know, a warship in the sea, okay? And it was a foggy night and all the crew is there and the captain is there. So the captain, someone who's looking out, he said, "Captain, there is a light ahead of us. And eventually, if we keep going like this, we will hit whatever it is that is there in the sea." So the captain sends a signal, says, "We are going to direction of this, this, and that," and give him the directions, "and we suggest that you move. You get out of our way." So he sent back, he said, "Yes, I am in your way, and I'm asking you to move." So he said, "I am the captain so-and-so of, you know, level so-and-so. I'm asking you to move." He answered him and said, "I am a soldier, and my rank is so-and-so, and I'm asking you to move." So he said, "This is a warship," and he described how big and how great and how powerful it is, "and I'm asking you to move." He said, "This is a worker in the lighthouse. I'm asking you to move." Okay? Okay. So the lighthouse is constant, is going to stay there. Okay? And if you do not make the maneuver, the problem is going to be yours. Okay? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. For Allah, the best of examples. When we connect with that which is constant, okay, changes happen. Because everything else has to maneuver around that. And the constant stays as it is strong. And this is what Rasulullah ﷺ taught the companions. Okay? The value of understanding this and holding on to this was an understanding. Do you know what that means? It is a concept. In the first 13 years, it was a teaching of concepts. Okay? Well, some actions, yes, but mainly concepts. And when these concepts became a part of what a human being is and became constant and became solid, it became like a lighthouse. Okay? Now, when that lighthouse went to Medina, what happened? The changes became very rapidly. Very rapidly. And it was a lot of changes. Okay? It's not just one or two or three. It's many, many laws came around and it was implemented very quickly. Because the constant was there. As we said today in the khutbah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he showed that constant when he stood on the mountain of Safa, saying, "If I tell you there is an army coming behind this mountain, what do you say?" He said, "Well, we believe you, yes. Even though it is impossible." They would say, "Yes, we believe you." So he established this constant, this mountain, as we said, of strength, of value and virtues and manners, that he is a sadiq al-ameen. Okay? He is a truthful and he is a trustworthy. So because of this value, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to initiate this da'wah in Mecca. Okay? When we are connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, with the values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, this will make us make a difference everywhere we go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-awwalu wal-akhir. He's always there. He was there before there was created. And He will always be here. Okay? So therefore, when we are with Allah, al-haq, the absolute truth, the absolute constant, therefore, everything else will come to us. And everything else, if it chooses not to come to us, it's going to reach loss. It has to reach loss. Because these virtues and these values are everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have chosen that quality of such values takes time to achieve. Does not happen overnight. Just like that which has to do with your sustenance, okay, it has time for you to be able to acquire it. And you have to be in harmony with everything that Allah created to be able to get it. You cannot rush it. Right? You cannot. There are some who have, I know a brother here, who keep giving me tomatoes from his garden. The tomato is still in his, is to mashallah until now. Okay, we are in October now. Okay? But there is no way that he could, you know, 2 weeks ago put the seed in the ground and says, I'm going to get tomatoes. It doesn't work. It's not going to work. You have to adjust yourself with the system that Allah have created. Right? So that takes time. It takes time. As the one who was, I think it was the same one who gave that example. He was saying, he was teaching this idea to students. And he was saying, okay, who cramped this semester and got an A? Or last semester and got an A? Most of the students all they put their hand up. Okay, or get good grades, right? Meaning, did not do anything, okay? Most of the semester, but then at the end, just a week or so, they start cramming and working hard, got in the test, and they were able to push this process, condense it to a shorter time. And then he said, who used to live in farms or lives on farms or ever lived on a farm? Few put their hand up. And then he asked, who crammed the harvest at the end of the harvest season? Okay. Everybody laughed. You cannot do that. These are the virtues and the values of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say the Asma'ullah al-Husna, the names and attributes of Allah, it has to be approached in this sense. That you cannot just, you know, flip a page and you say, okay, now I know how to be, you know, this, this and that, and, you know, Malik al-Qudus, Salam al-Mu'min, Muhaymin, I got it. No. You have to reflect on it. You have to understand it. You have to see it in action all around you. You have to become involved in it. You have to practice it. Then it becomes you. And the more you do so, the more you know so, the more you get all these names and attributes to become you, then you'll be a constant. Okay? You'll be a mountain. And all of us will be a mountain together. And now, we're not going to change. Everything else has to change. Okay? Okay? Because we know that this is the best. This is the constant. This is the foundation and the building and everything. Okay? And this is what happened to the companions. Everyone that confronted them, they perished. They could not exist, could not go on. Because now they are colliding with a mountain of values and virtues. And there is no way if they oppose this mountain they will survive. When you know that when you lose, as you think you're holding to the mountain, you know that there is deficiency in you. You cannot say, oh, the enemy was stronger than you. No. You let go of something. What happened was in Uhud. Okay? A disobedience in one matter was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were no longer in these values anymore. Okay? They're no longer holding to this mountain anymore. They lost. But a day later, they found out immediately, and a day later, they got back on the mountain, and what happened? This success came to them right away. Our problem, one of our problems today, that we do not even know how to get on that mountain. We do not even know how to stand in these valleys and to get them and acquire them. We do not even get to the masajid much to be able to acquire this. Okay? As in the Fajr, I was saying just less than a year ago, right? When here is the West decided to do what? To cater to the Muslimin the way they wish. Okay? So they have chosen something off the mountain, not on the mountain. Okay? And started putting a light on it and say it is great. And if you agree with us, you are very good people, don't you? Come around for this light. Okay? What was the one who wrote, I said his name early in the morning. The Rumi, Rumi. Okay? And with the poems. And the poems and the poems. And how he's a great poet, a great this. And the Muslimin were going around. Oh, we are being recognized, right? We go put suits and tie on and go and get our children. And there was some museum here in D.C. They were showing things and in Baltimore. I don't know exactly where. Okay, and so what is that? What is that? What values are we carrying? Okay, and they were choosing some of the poems and translating and saying it, and some of it was embarrassing. Okay, but because it has a label of he was a Muslim, and so forth, now became something that if we connect with. Now we become noticed. No, we want to be noticed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And when you're noticed by Allah, the pleasure will be there. The pleasure. The radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu will be there. And that is the true comfort and the true pleasure of this life. Okay? And everything that happens, a consequence of that, is a fruit that Allah gives. It's a fruit that Allah gives. Do you think the companions, when they went and tried to implement Islam in different places, do you think that the reason they went there is to acquire more land? Acquire more authority? If that was their goal, Allah wouldn't have given them success. It is to bring these values into actions. Remember these three sentences that Rubai' ibn Amr radiallahu anhu said to the leader of the Persians when he went as a messenger from the army, as a very humble man. Okay? And the story is long, but at the end when he got there, they wanted trying to impress him by putting the carpets and having a long path to get to the throne, and the throne was in many steps and a big couch and hanging from the high up something, this camel coming down, very big taj, what is taj? Crown coming down on his head and giving that making an impression, right? And as Rubai ibn Amir, he knew what he was trying to do. So he completely humiliated this scene by, coming down off his horse. And he told him to take his sword and his spear, put it away. He said, no. He said, I didn't want to come. You asked me to come. If you want me to go back, I'll go back. I'll come as I am or not. Okay. So they went to the king and said, okay, let him come in. So he comes in with the spear and making holes in the carpet and making holes in the cushions as he's walking. Okay? Point being is he made three statements. When the Persian leaders, and it was not written, prepared, and thought about it to present it. It just came out because he knew what he was about. Okay? He said, when he told him, go back, we'll give you money and go, we'll give you clothes and go, we'll give you food and go, just go back to down there with the Bedouins back, living that life. He said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ ابْتَعَثَنَا اللَّهُ. We are people that Allah brought us out. لِنُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ النَّاسِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ لِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. To bring people out away from worshiping man and worshiping the creator of man. That's what we're about. The idea of tawheed. To bring people to say la ilaha illallah. To understand this. To bring them out of this shirk to tawheed. And then he said, and to bring them from all injustices of all religion to the justice of Islam. And this is a fruit of this concept of La ilaha illallah. Because once it is applied in all aspects of life, all the unjust rulings will go away and the just rule of Islam is going to be there. So therefore, people will be living under a just law. And then the last statement he said, and to bring mankind from the tightness and hardship of this dunya to the easiness of this dunya and the hereafter. So that is the fruit. Okay? When you worship Allah and Allah alone, and you implement the way of Allah and the law of Allah, you become living in justice. And this living will become an easy living, comfortable living. You'll have the easiness of this life and in the hereafter. This is what we're about. When this constant, you hold on to it, and you work according to it, everything else will work. And anything that opposes it will perish. Has to perish. جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Rasulullah ﷺ, when he arrived to Mecca, and all the idols came down, Muhammad ﷺ said, جَاءَ الْحَقِّ. Truth came. Truth is here. وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. And falsehood is perishing. It was perished. And Allah says, إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Indeed, falsehood in a very innate nature will go away. It naturally, it has to go away. Naturally, it will go away. But al-haq will never go away. Islam is always high. Iman is always there. But we need to move up to the level of a mu'min and a Muslim. Okay? And when we do that, we are being honored now by moving up to that level. Okay? But we can come down. But Islam will never go come down. The values, that mountain is never going to come down. It's always, these values are always going to be there. But we're the one who need to do work to get on it, to get to it, to hold on to it hard. And that is the path of the messengers of Allah, and the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the path of the companions, and must be our path. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-awwalu wal-akhir. Okay? He is the first and the last. Okay? The first without nothing before him, he's always there. And the last without an end after him, he'll always be there. So we go on in our lives and we say that in the existence of things, Allah is always there first, initiating the existence. And in actions of things, at the end of our action, we'll find Allah and we'll be rewarded or punished for this action. Allah is al-awwal and also al-akhir. We will meet Allah when we finally find everything is gone and all we're going to be carrying is how and why we did what we did. Inshallah, it's time to make the comments, inshallah. Brother Lu'ay is coming in 2 days, inshallah. Okay. So he's not here to open this, but I'm sure there are many. The microphone is there, inshallah. تفضل يا شباب.
In the story of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the story of Rubay ibn Amir, is it him that the Persian king wanted him to bow down for him? Is it him that he made his way in such a way that when he goes into the palace, he will go in bowing to the king? Is the story of him?
I don't know if that was him. Yeah.
He understood
this
that.
This happened in the battlefield. This incident happened in the battlefield because the two armies were about to meet, and then he went to talk with him before the battle started. Mm. Yes,
I was wondering whether it was him or not, but we have to find out. But it was made that the Persian king knew that the Muslims would not bow down for a Muslim, and he vowed that he will make a Muslim bow down to him. Mm-hmm. But what they've done, he was also a delegate of Muslims, you know. He constructed the pathway towards the palace into his, seat. Mm-hmm. Then when this Muslim leader, when he goes in, he has to bow down to the king. But this Muslim delegate knew about this, and what he did was he didn't go in front, but he turned his back, and when he go in, he gave his back to the king.
That's one way to do it. And then
the names are sometimes it comes in ayah of Allah. The ayah has some relation, like in the ayah Surah Al-Hadid, huwa al-awwal wal-akhir wal-zahir wal-batin. So there's a relation between.
Yes, there actually is. There some scholars says you have to reflect on all four at the same time.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So next time it's going to be zahir.
Inshallah. Okay, Sheikh Hatem. Okay, Alhamdulillah. Okay, Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan.